You're listening to New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Kilby, XV, Lady Rick, Bweebum, with Rob Springer.
Welcome to New Soundwave number 60. Holy crap, man. 60. And didn't this sync up nicely? It's show number 60, and it's the last show of 2010.
Wow.
I know.
It's a base 10 numbering system. It means something.
I can't believe it. We're like the Aztecs and the Mayans. We know time beyond all other civilizations. So, with me this week, our all-star cast, Brian Kilby, Rob Springer, and our favorite XV, the greatest XV.
He is the best XV ever.
He is. He likes to laugh and point and snicker a little bit, sprinkle that in. He's our favorite XV. So on the show this week, some really good stuff and then an awesome, awesome topic. Something that's near and dear to Brian's heart. We're going to talk real quickly about a new Soul Calibur. Finally, how about that? Some massive, massive Marvel versus Capcom 3 fights. Interesting notes about the 3DS, and then we'll get into our topic, which is, since it is the end of 2010, we're going to look back 10 years and then look back 20 years and do a little retro gaming talk. We're going to look at how things were in the year 2000 and the year 1990. Wow. Ooh, seems like 1990 was just around the corner, right?
We're like kind of completely missing the Virtual Boy in this, aren't we?
Damn it.
Yes. Mercifully so. Check back like next year or in a couple of years, whenever that syncs up. So we're not going to deny the Virtual Boy's existence. It's just, thank God it doesn't sync up with today's show. We don't get into it. Okay, so first of all, this is the end of December. We're recording this on, what day is this? The 29th. And so Christmas is fresh in our minds. And Brian, you have kind of a Christmas story for us to kick off the show.
Yeah, so I got a couple things this year. Triplet, who's often on our show, and he's always on New Soundwave, on Fanboy Versus. All year I wanted Red Dead Redemption, but I couldn't find it, or I couldn't get it, I couldn't afford it. He ended up picking Red Dead Redemption up for me for Christmas, which I thought was awesome. Sorry, I'm in the chat. Okay, so the cool thing is
multitasking and hard.
Yes. So the cool thing is, I have been a fan of Billy Mitchell since in the 1990s when I first got on the internet and learned who he was. Long before the King of Kong, a friend of mine gave me 4 bottles of his hot sauce, the wing sauce, one of which was autographed. He also threw in an autographed picture. Which is him accepting his Lifetime Achievement Award at Namco, the headquarters in Japan. It's pretty frickin' rad. And the cool thing is, it's not like Billy doesn't sell these as autographs. He doesn't sell autographed bottles. My friend Dusty worked out a deal with him to do it, and it's pretty awesome. I didn't have to do a darn thing for it. It's sweet. So I was really pleased and impressed. And Kim, my wife Kim, is awesome because I told her who it was, and she immediately knew. She's like, "Is that the guy with the mullet?" And I'm like, "Yes." And to top it off, the sauce is really good too. It's I love hot sauce. I think we've established that. There are no preservatives, so it's really clean tasting, and for lack of a better word. It's really hot. It's very cayenne pepper rich. So it's not the hottest sauce in the world. For most people, it'd probably be a little too hot, but for me, it's dynamite.
So. Yeah, because you got to say you're a connoisseur of hot sauces.
I wouldn't say I'm a connoisseur. Right. I would say that my palate has been destroyed.
In the realm of hot sauce, I believe that is much the same thing.
Possibly.
Yes. Yeah, if your tongue looks like a dried chili, yes, then yes, you are a connoisseur. Yes. I hate to tell you. Awesome. Well, that's awesome. And the last thing I expected tonight was to hear a story about Billy Mitchell.
And of course, everyone knows that Billy Mitchell is he has the world's highest score in Donkey Kong, as well as various other records. He was featured in Steve Wiebe were featured in the documentary, which received a lot of acclaim outside of the gaming industry. King of Kong from like 2006 or 2007. Great movie.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. It is a great movie. Great documentary.
You're really rooting at the end of that movie. Like, yeah. Come on, you can do it, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The story of good and evil as told through Donkey Kong is tremendous. Tremendous. Hey, Brian, you are a fan of Soul Calibur.
Yes, correct? I am.
Oh, gosh, are you? And I've got great news for you. It seems, well, it's pretty clear now, that we're going to get a new Soul Calibur in the not-too-distant future.
But we got Soul Calibur 2. Why do we need new Soul Calibers?
Oh, because it's been a while since the Dreamcast was, you know, the hot system on the street.
It's hard for me to go back and play Soul Calibur 1 just because of the graphics. But Soul Calibur 2 on the Xbox still looks fantastic. And Soul Calibur 4, yeah, oh yeah, I can totally play it now. Soul Calibur 4 looks beyond fantastic, so...
Well, get ready for 5, buddy.
Wow.
Get ready for 5. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. This probably isn't like completely unexpected given the resurgence in fighting games, but it's good to see. Also, next year, if you don't know already, we're getting Tekken Tag Tournament 2.
Oh, God. I own have a, no idea. I own a Tekken Tag Tournament cabinet, but only because it was cheap. Tekken Tag Tournament is my least favorite Tekken ever. Well, that and Tekken 4.
Yes, in fact, and also, honestly, a lot of the reaction to Tekken Tag Tournament 2, it's a mouthful, has been kind of like, meh, or why.
Well, people loved it because it was a launch game for the PS2.
But right, correct.
At the time, it was okay, but it just didn't have longevity.
It was Tekken 3. Gimmicky. It was Tekken 3 with more characters on screen.
Right, with a bunch of chaos happening. Okay, so anyway, like it or not, we are getting one. What we're also getting is Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which is getting major hype. Major hype. It's also had a major leak in the last week or so. A little background. This game has had a ton of like fake leaks. So there's been lots of Twitter accounts created that have had fake, you know, rumors to spread. There's been some overzealous reporting of stuff that hadn't been fact-checked. But this looks pretty solid. So, spoiler warning, if you don't want to be spoiled by what we're going to talk about, turn your volume down for a couple minutes or skip forward a couple minutes if you're listening to the recording. So, 3, 2, 1.
Contact. Yes.
So what was spoiled are the two...
This is why I love you guys. You know that?
Okay. This is why we wouldn't have a show without you.
Yes.
So
next week we're going to do a square one thing, right?
MathNet, mm-hmm. Dude, all the way.
No, Carmen San Diego. Let's be timely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do it, acapella.
Okay. Yes, tune in next week for acapella.
And now, sir, listening, scan ahead a few more minutes to.
Nice. So, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, two, perhaps three, major characters have been leaked or confirmed. Yes, two of them, the two that look like they're definite leaks, we've kind of known about or have heard one way or another. They could be in the game. The third one, completely out of left field.
Okay, who are the established ones?
The established ones are Galactus and Taskmaster.
Okay, I heard Taskmaster, that's awesome. But
yeah, Taskmaster is awesome. Galactus, we've kind of heard before as like the big boss at the end. Yeah. Obviously, probably unplayable. But you
gotta have an ultimate nullifier to do anything.
Yes.
Or bargain with him.
Question, dude. No question. So Taskmaster, also interesting copycat character, probably, right?
Hopefully.
So and he may be the rumored character that Capcom has said they've had quote unquote challenges executing or kind of making happen. Yes, that sounded like a difficult one. And by the way, all this leaked was through a comic book. The video game is going to have a comic book, obviously, Marvel vs. Capcom. And some of the panels, some of the pages from that comic book leaked. It looks like the inker actually uploaded them to a site that wasn't very secure. So we got nice juicy screenshots. Yeah, nice juicy shots of Galactus and several shots of Taskmaster. We also got a picture of the Hulk dragging what looks like, when somebody recolored it, what looks like the Green Goblin.
Neat.
So interesting. Yeah, so interesting. Also, to, I guess, kind of further back up this rumor of the Green Goblin, I should say Like maybe a day before this stuff leaked, there was a screenshot of gameplay, and somebody, of course, obsessively zoomed in somewhere and saw what they thought looked like his glider being thrown by She-Hulk. So,
ooh.
You know, you never know. So maybe Green Goblin, obviously, of course, he has to have the glider, so it looks like he may have the glider. So if this is true, this is awesome.
And the cool thing, I mean, I love hand-drawn animation, but it's so much easier to develop a character in 3D and then just throw a skin on it. So it's really cool that we're able to get all these characters. And they can actually literally develop someone in probably a quarter of the time it would take them to actually sit down and draw them. So it's really sweet. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. And last point on that, to Brian's point, you know, the only challenge we've heard about really in creating characters for this game is just some characters the internet can't handle. The connection, the online play kind of slows down. That's the only reason some characters have been out of this game. It's not because they don't have time to design them or develop them. It's just literally, you know, online play can't handle incredibly complex characters. So moving on to the 3DS. So Nintendo has updated their official Nintendo World 2011 website, and they've got a list of the games that will be available for the public to experience. And this happens next month. So just around the corner, we're going to have much, much 3DS gameplay to talk about.
Yeah.
Guess what? What's old is new when it's in 3D. So here's a list of the games that will be playable next month. So real quick, Metal Gear Solid, a 3D soccer game, kind of a generic soccer. Street Fighter 4, Resident Evil, Dynasty Warriors, Dead or Alive, Ridge Racer, how about that? Nintendogs and Cats, Kid Icarus, Zelda, Pilot Wings, and a couple others. But as you can see, complete nostalgia play. It's what's old is new. So interesting stuff there. Now, I know, Rob, you're a 3DS guy. So are you looking at your jobs for a 3DS?
I am
excited. Like, I can't believe for a 3DS. Obviously, I enjoy my DS, and the 3D part, actually, the 3D part actually might be taken second to the other features of it, like the more powerful hardware and the
new games. That's all that matters. New games.
Exactly. The upgrades, the new games, stuff like that. The 3D is like, wow, this is awesome. I'm turning this off now because I don't need Pikachu floating around my face. I don't want to be like playing it at the bank and someone goes, kind of contraption is that? Watch TV, they advertise them.
I like how that was like a hillbilly crossed with Macho Man.
Well, I am Georgia.
Yeah, I gotta go to your bank, buddy, if that's how they sound over there. One other note on 3DS real quick. Brian brought this up, and this is awesome. And Rob, it's a good thing that you're older than 6, I believe. Because Nintendo has, Nintendo has come out and said kids under 6 should not play video games.
I think this is awesome. And there's a darn good reason, is because kids' vision, I forgot, God help me, I was actually reading an article on this a couple of months ago on development of vision. Because I overheard someone talking about how kids don't actually develop. I mean, kids, you don't see in the womb. So it's not like your eyes are developed when you're born. And you don't even see stereoscopically until you're like nearly a year old. And that really weirded me out because, of course, I don't remember being that young. So I don't remember what it's like not seeing things in 3D. And your brain splitting things in two. It's like, you know, almost like how a horse sees, or animals that have their eyes on the sides of their head. So the kid's vision's developing. You don't want them to sit there for hours on end playing something that is effectively tricking your brain, because 3D in that 3D as it is isn't supposed to work. I mean, it's literally tricking your senses. So they don't want to train or screw kids' visions by or vision by the 3D trick. So I think that's really proactive on Nintendo's part, because stuff like this typically happens. You know, like, oh, you need to have a strap on your wand. You know, it's like because people's TVs break. No, Nintendo's doing this before the 3DS comes out and saying no. A huge potential audience of people who need this, who want this. yeah, we're not going to sell it to you. Or your parents, or you're irresponsible if you buy it for your 6-year-old.
Yeah, they're heading off the lawsuits 10 years from now for all these 16-year-olds who have chronic vision problems from the 3DS.
With walking sticks. Maybe they'll sell walking sticks.
I didn't want to play Tetris.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Hey, all you got to do, well, think of that. You can just repurpose your lightsaber from when you were a kid. Just turn it upside down. Yeah. How about that? Look at that.
As long as it's not one of those collapsible ones, because that's going to get sad real quick.
Oh, that's right.
You have to put what is going on?
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Okay, two more quick hits before we get to our topic. And they both concern the PSP. First of all, let me say on this story, what I'm about to say, it's, I guess Sony is trying to follow a model of success. This is just not the model that I would follow. So the PlayStation Phone is coming to North America and Europe as early as this spring. We know that, according to a Japanese newspaper. Here's the funny part about that, about this article. According to Sony, and according to this article, the device runs on Android OS. Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. And its design is based on the PSP Go. So, yes. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Right?
Hey, don't.
Yes.
The guys at Sony talk long and hard about this one.
If you needed more PSP Go in your life, and who doesn't?
The Go pisses me off. Because it parades around as a game console that has no physical media that you can actually put a game on. I don't think that's that bad of an idea when it comes to a phone. When I fully expect to be downloading the stuff on this, it's a matter of expectation. This doesn't bother me. The PSP Go is not a bad form factor. It's an ill-conceived concept. It's two different things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It don't work out so well. It's like, one day at Sony, hey, Bob, what's going on? I got this new PSP Lifesavers candy book. Oh, cool. You think the kids will like it? They'll love it. It's got tons of features. Really? When can we get it in stores? Tomorrow. Why is there only half their Lifesavers in that? We didn't think it all the way through, Bob. We didn't think you got
still coming out tomorrow.
I just went to the board, and I didn't think they'd actually approve it, because they were like, pfft. No one buys games at Walmart.
No.
No.
Everyone buys their kids games
on tire changes.
Everyone wants to say, I want a new game. Let me turn on the PlayStation Store. Let me update the firmware again so I can go back on there again. And, I just like to go on it without updating the firmware, by the way. And that's just on the regular PSP. Okay, let me put this card in. Oh, it's not working with my Linksys here. But it's picking up the neighbors. Well, let me just hold it against the wall, see if I can download a demo. It's taking forever to get this stupid Crash Bandicoot game.
It's totally worth it, because...
Well, now we know Crash
Bandicoot. I kind of want to play Crash Bandicoot now, the original.
I love Crash Bandicoot, but I'm sorry. Really? It's not worth that download. It's nice. He's worth
it. I kind of want to play Earthworm Jim now. I'm kind of having a retro moment.
Yeah.
Okay, so real quick, other thing. So if you're a PSP and you're not a Go, things are actually pretty good for you in Japan, at least. So real quick, hardware sales for 2010 are wrapping up. We've got them, and so in Japan, at least, not in America yet. So, but in Japan, the top four hardwares in terms of units sold: number four, PS3; number three, Wii; number two, DS; number one, PSP.
How?
So it pitched out the DS.
Well, it's only a difference of about 10,000 units.
There's a clearance at KB.
It's really neck and neck. They do far outpace the two consoles, though, by quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And the PSP was kind of pushed by Monster Hunter 3, which is a really...
Ah, yeah, that makes sense. And the thing is, the PSP is not saturated because nobody has one. If you came out with a really compelling reason to sell it, people would buy it. I bought two. Everybody I know has bought two for some reason.
Monster Hunter does great over in Japan because that commercial talks to them. Over here, they're like, so is it like Final Fantasy? What's going on?
We're like, this is too weird. And they're like, this is just right.
If they make the commercial go, okay, You hunt monsters within a time frame, and you can get together with your... It's like World of Warcraft, but on a smaller scale. Oh, but instead it's like some... I didn't see a single Chocobo in that Final Fantasy commercial. Which game was that again?
Wait, there's Monster Hunter commercials here?
Yeah. Yeah, they showed them. They show them.
Yeah, yeah. They try. They try to make it go over here. Hasn't worked. Oh, well.
Oh, there's one thing missing from this list, though, that I'm curious about. What about the Xbox 360, John?
Well, I can look that up. Let's see here.
So, Yoki-san, you want to play Halo? No.
No Halo. No.
No Gears of War. It's all the same game.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is the Xbox, for all its attempts... has just not caught on with Japan.
I think it's interesting. The machine is bigger than the average Japanese apartment.
Yeah.
That's true. You know, yeah, and can you imagine the power bill on that for the poor Japanese? Unbelievable.
You know?
Unbelievable. Let me look those up, and I'll have it by the end of the show, but the logic, I can't tell you... Oh, go ahead, Rob.
The logic with the Xbox in Japan... stops at, there's a disconnect for me in the logic here, because okay, the first Xbox didn't take off. Okay, it's not a home brand. They stick with the Sony's, Nintendo's, the brands they know, like your neighbor has a Chevy or a Ford. I get that. Xbox 360 was designed to be sleeker and more appealing towards the modern gaming audience, and this is, you know, it's whatever. It's still not taking off Japan, and people are like,
it's an American console. It's not going to take off in Japan.
But at the same time, the most popular fast food restaurant in Japan is Kentucky Fried Chicken. McDonald's.
The Colonel belongs to the world, my friend.
McDonald's is behind KFC, and McDonald's has changed their menu to adapt to their tastes. And KFC is still like, we got a double down, some mashed potatoes.
Oh, I bet they're selling mostly chicken. Chicken is.
Taste a little different, but still chicken.
Yeah, No. I live in a very rural area where, you know, we do a couple things. We do NASCAR, we do hardware, and we do chickens and apples. And
chicken?
There's a lot of chicken. There's a lot of export, you know, business to Japan. Japanese people love chicken, so it's mostly. I'm certain it's mostly fried chicken that they're selling.
You know, I love that definitive statement.
Speaking of the fast food, I saw over Asia way, there's the Samurai Burger, which apparently is basically just a Whopper, or not a Whopper, a Big Mac, with like teriyaki sauce flavoring.
You know,
which sounds excellent.
Well, that's like the teriyaki $6 burger from Carl's Jr.'s.
Get Chinese, Japanese, Thai takeout from any restaurant. What's in the box? A fried chicken wing.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know,
When I'm in a Chinese restaurant and I'm not eating the sushi, I'm eating the chicken because the steak's terrible.
They may not want to play Gears of War, but what unites the world is our love of chicken.
Yeah.
Man, chicken's unite.
We can be Roscoe. Or Ron Twang. Everyone loves chicken.
Man, that's awesome. That's why you should listen to New Soundwave every week. You walk away more cultured and more aware of the world.
Yeah.
As it pertains to chicken. Hey, XV, I've got your numbers for you. And then we'll go to the topic. So, okay, so to summarize, we were talking just a few minutes ago about how the PSP was actually the top-selling piece of hardware in Japan for 2010. So the top two hardware... pieces were the PSP and the DS. PSP, like I said, was number one. They both sold around 2.7 million units. The Wii and the PS3 sold about 1.5 million units. The 360 sold 230,000 units. And the PS2 sold 83,000. But yes, quite a drop off for the 360. So sad.
So sad. Thank you for
that. Yes. You didn't give them the memo? Halo-like. ODST and Wars just came out.
Yeah, clearly something wrong with you guys over there. You're missing out.
So that brings us
to the topic. It is the end of 2010. It is the end of another year. And so I thought to close out the year, let's go back. Let's turn the clock back 10 years and then 20 years and talk about gaming in the year 2000 and in the year 1990. Yeah, boy. So here, to kick off our little talk about 2000, I'll take us back. So in 2000, we had, first of all, we had something ironic. One of the covers in December for EGM featured Twisted Metal Black, which was advertised as Twisted Metal only going back to its roots, which by the way, is what Twisted Metal 2011 is trying to do. So they're going back.
Dude, has it been 10 years since Twisted Metal Black came out?
It's been 10 years, buddy.
Oh,
it's
my God.
Yeah. It's been 10 Twisted years. Metal, we are old.
It's going to return to its roots, but this time be really gothy for no really clear reason.
Yes, it's gonna hate itself even more. We had the noteworthy. We had Nintendo selling its 100 millionth Game Boy. How about that? In 2000. That's the year 2000.
Awesome. It's
awesome.
High five, Shigeru.
Yeah. and then they go jump in their money bank like Scrooge McDuck. Okay, so we had Life and Death. SNK went out of business. So sad. Pop Games was founded, though. And you might ask yourself, who's Pop Games? Pop Games does Bejeweled, Plants vs. Zombies, among other things. So they've never
stuff happening in the cubicle next to you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That guy who's going to get the promotion before you is playing Plants
vs. That is true.
I have got so much to do. Am I the only one that works here? What is that noise?
He also is running an eBay store out of his cube. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And farm belt.
Like a small business. That's awesome. That's a busy cube. And as a final note to 2000, before we talk a little bit more about it, we had proof that Sega is run by inspired aliens from the future who are terrible businessmen. Why do I say that? Because in the year 2000, Sega.com launched SegaNet, the online gaming network. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah.
And if there was more than just dial-up internet, that would have taken right off.
They did release a broadband adapter, but there wasn't enough broadband penetration at that point.
That's,
really
I'm kind of talking about both situations at once. Oh.
Aliens from the future.
Right. Just Sega, wait 5 years. Xbox will have success with this shit.
The Xbox did pretty well, but I mean, it wasn't until the Xbox 360 that it really took off.
That's what I was actually talking about. The 5 years.
Most people forget that Xbox Live originated on the Xbox.
It's like, did you ever play Xbox Live Arcade on a regular Xbox, original Xbox? You had to put in a disc.
Good
to
time.
Like make it work. It's like, oh wow, Pac-Man.
But it's online, man. It's online. Oh yeah, by the way, a little thing called the PS2 came out.
No one bought one of those.
Oh, yes.
In March of 2000. So very nice, very nice. So 20 years ago, going all the way back to 1990, that's when most of us were wee kids. Yes.
I was 6 years old.
We were in the prime of video game playing. Our reaction times were lightning quick, and our brains were so much faster.
Glove.
Absolutely. So, hey, we had Super Mario Brothers 3, son, in 1990.
Best game ever.
Best game ever. We will talk about it at any opportunity. Actually, you know, this game, and remember, this game had its own movie. That tells you how big it was, right? Its own Jossum movie.
And it was only in it for a minute.
It was a commercial for it. That's all it was.
Yeah, that's all it was.
Like Fred Savage and his little brother travel cross country just to play this game. It's good. Go to Service Merchandise and get one.
And it was awesome. I mean, didn't you freak? I freaked out when they unveiled the game on those giant screens. It was awesome.
It's like
you know when I first played it. I played it on the PlayChoice 10 cabinet at the local gas station. The one that has like up to 10 Nintendo games on it that you can select from. That's where I first played Super Mario Brothers 3. It's weird.
You know, the problem with the wizard though is when you watched him playing Super Mario's 3 to determine who's the winner, whatever. There's no conjugal sense there. It's like
Wait, what?
How are they judging who's doing better? Because they keep playing the same level over and over again. And Jimmy just died, but he got like 1,000,000,000 points. Huh? What is going on?
He totally can't do that yet.
He goes to the flute. It's like, he found a warp. And you know, Fred Savage is like, jump up there. There's a warp zone. How do you know?
He read EGM.
And it's like, he hits the warp whistle, and where does he go? The same level he was playing. I was noticing this.
Yes, awesome. Awesome. It was a beta, Rob. We'll just say that. We'll just leave
it. Actually, it makes no conjugal sense. You know why? Because when things are that bad, I can make up descriptions, and it makes perfect sense.
Some other games came out. Like, well, here's an interesting one. Railroad Tycoon. So it was the first of the Tycoon games. Came out in 1990. That's interesting. Sid Meier's Railroad Tycoon. Capcom released Mega Man 3, which introduced the characters Rush and Proto Man.
Yes.
Pretty nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, the Mega Man Slide, too. That is not a dance. That is an essential move now these days. The Mega Man Slide. And they started doing cameos of other Capcom characters.
Mega Man 3 was the first Mega Man I beat for the first time in one sitting. It's pretty. That one was easy. Fun game though.
The Mega Man 2 not so easy.
No,
no.
It's the bubbles. Oh my god.
I'm still pissed about that.
Such a joke.
And you know how I figured it out today. Remember those books they sell restored like the story of the video game and it'd be a novelization of the game.
No, I don't remember that actually.
I don't remember that.
Oh, I got plenty of them.
I was only
like,
6 years old.
You'd read it, and it was like a novelization of the game you were reading, and it was like, oh, cool, huh? He uses the bubbles in the book.
Interesting. I guess that's a hint. You know what else I miss with games back of that vintage? The long instruction books. Like, instruction books these days are a joke, man.
It depends. Rockstar does a good job with them.
Instruction books these days are basically just a hard copy of the controller layout.
Yeah,
pretty much.
You remember, like, they'd have, like, the profile for each character in Double Dragon. You're like, oh, the brown hair guy's got a name.
Yeah. It's like, wow, background story to a beat-em-up. Sure.
I mean, Mario Brothers not only had each individual character with a bio of who they were, and then had a note section. I'm going to have to figure out what I did, so I'm going to write it down.
Did you ever use the note sections in the instruction booklets?
Yes.
Yeah, but never for the game it was for, because I only used the more note section. It was for games I invented. In hindsight, I should just use like a steno pad.
So what I had a little journal that I kept, that I actually kept codes in, and I didn't understand how the grid in Mega Man worked, so I actually drew it every time I got a new one, which was awesomely stupid. But I actually kept a list of the games that I had beaten, and I was proud. I was like, I have beaten 214 games, and that's I think I kept track of that until like 1998, and I felt like the loneliest, most loser 19-year-old ever. It's like, I have beaten 340 games. How many games have you beaten? Well, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I'm on my fourth marriage. Awesome. I go, well.
Awesome.
Well, it works out because it's like, you have to explain to people, well, how did you, and they look at it, you beat Demon Sword? Yes, I did.
What half those games are.
I beat Demon Sword. How? Nothing else to do on a Saturday. Just kept it and continue.
That's right. Eventually, slow weekend. Slow weekend.
Just like beating Halo.
Okay, last point on the games that were released. Yeah. Dr. Mario. How about that?
Wow. Ooh, that's Kim's favorite game.
Oh, really? My wife loved Dr. Mario for the longest-ass time on DS. She played forever.
Oh, Kim has the Dr. Mario for the Game Boy Advance. No, or is it the DS? And I think it's Game Boy Advance. And she still plays it every day.
It's on my DSi. I mean, it's a classic game, and you know what? I am terrible at it. I'm good at Tetris, but not Doctor. Tetris, I can go for hours, and if I've been playing it for a week straight, 4 hours later, I'm on level 59 for the other 1,000. You know, Dr. Mario's like, never get past first stage. Still play it, though. Still play it.
Two more points on the great year 1990. What a great year. It was a fascinating year for hardware. So check this out. In 1990, we got the Turbo Express, the Super Famicom, the Neo Geo home system, and the Game Gear. So all really interesting for different reasons, especially, the Neo Geo home console, kind of a freak, kind of an interesting piece of history there. The Turbo Express and the Game Gear, same thing. Valid, valiant attempts to take down the Game Boy. We saw how that turned out, though.
It sure did work.
Yeah, it sure did work. You know, I saw Turbo Express physically right in front of me about a week ago.
Really?
And thing looks awful. So the screen is like as big as a postage stamp compared to what we have today.
Where did you see this
screen? A friend of mine is kind of into retro gaming, and I was mentioning it. He asked me if I still had my Lynx, my Atari Lynx, and I do. It's not like in storage. It's in a closet, but I can pull it down in my little library of games anytime I want. I should do that for next week's show. Just for
that's awesome.
That is.
But then I asked him about his Turbo Express. I was like, "Well, dude, do you still have your Turbo Express?" And he was like, "Surely." So he brought it the next day over, and I checked it out, and it is ancient, completely ancient. Some of these other systems hold up pretty well, but the Turbo Express looks. It may as well be like 100 years old.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times TurboZoneDirectTZD.com used to actually have one in occasionally. I think they were charging like $250 for it. I have so many times come close to actually buying that. I'm kind of glad I didn't.
Man, that thing was like the PSP of its time. Yes. It was like, I can plug this up to a TV and play TurboGrafx games. I can watch TV on it. I mean, Game Gear, I needed this doohickey to watch.
You needed the doohickey for the...
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought you was...
I don't remember being able to hook it into a TV. You could do that with the Sega Nomad, which I have here in my left hand. Oh,
I remember this kid was bragging about how it was like best thing ever.
Kids brag about a lot of stuff.
It's see this shoebox with a little screen on it? That's right.
Nice.
I am not going to play this long in the trip to Wyoming because the battery's already dead the minute my car left the carport. But dude, I'm playing Zonk. I am playing Zonk's Revenge, and this is really hard, and I'm moving on a Game Boy.
Yeah.
The last point on 1990, and this is the second piece of evidence that Sega was from the future. Okay, so again, 20 years ago, the Telegenesis modem.
Oh,
was released in Japan in October.
Wow.
It retailed for about $100. As the name implies, yes, it was a modem for the Genesis. So for about $100, you got this thing. And then you also got what was called the MegaNet online service, which costs about $35 for 6 months. And you got access to the Sega game library. And as EGM at the time noted, that you could gasp if you can wrap your head around this. You could play somebody down the street or in another state. It was amazing. Whoa. So 20 years ago, yes.
Sega, a few years later, also did the Sega Channel, which was similar to that. Which
yes.
Sega's always been on the cutting edge until they, went out of business, basically.
You know, the thing here, we make these jokes, but the Atari 2600, some cable providers provided a modem for it where you could plug it into the cartridge slot and play Atari games over your cable connection. And it had wireless joysticks that you could buy for like $1,000. Atari, if they only had a CD-ROM,
they only had a time machine.
If CDs hadn't been invented in 1986,
Well, I think about Sega's multiple attempts. Nintendo did it in Japan. Theirs was actually kind of successful. It's like, Atari in the 80s did this with like some cable providers would do it, and it was like this giant box, and it'd plug into the thing, into the cartridge slot, and I think it ran to your cable box or the phone jack, and you had a selection of games that you could play over the connection. I can only imagine how fast that game of Asteroids was, because we're saying 1990, I'm remembering. Any of you guys have the problem convincing your parents to buy you a new game console because of the fact it wouldn't play your old Atari or old Nintendo games? Because of, at that moment, anything you bought could play an Atari game. And it was like,
I wasn't smart enough to use backward compatibility as a ploy, but I totally should have.
Yeah.
No, that was my parents' thing. They were like, I really wanted a Nintendo. Well, will it play your Atari games? No. And then Super Nintendo, will it play all your Nintendo games? No. Damn it, Atari, why did you do that?
But for the backward compatible consoles that we had, did we ever use them? I never. I rarely will throw a PS1 game into my PS2. And I've had the PS2 since the launch.
That is the weakest fanboy point and selling feature ever. Because it's like, oh yeah, well, you know what? My PS3 is backwardsly compatible. Can your Xbox 360 do that? No, but I'm not playing Battle Arena for shit anytime.
Yeah, it's backwards compatible with the Xbox.
But you get what it's like.
Poorly.
No, I can't. I don't plan to play Battle Arena Toshinden anytime soon.
I will admit, I am one of the rare use cases that actually could justify the getting the launch PS3 because of the backwards compatibility, except it's ridiculously expensive. Because my arcade cabinet, I only have so many slots in it, and it was either have a PS2 or a PS3, and I couldn't afford a PS3 at the time. And you know, so I can only play PS2 games, but I would love to be able to play, say, Soul Calibur 4 on it. But
I'm gonna call it another fanboy excuse. PS3, it's backwards compatible. And then here's the other one, not to pick on PS3 owners, but what the hell is up with constantly saying it's the most powerful system out there? Well, then why didn't you buy the Xbox last time?
Yeah,
I don't get that. It was stronger. Well, I'm not a fanboy. Yes, you are. So what reason you think I care?
This is like lunchtime in high school. It's awesome.
It is like lunchtime. Yeah, at certain tables, absolutely, in the cafeteria. Yeah,
that'd be the awesome table show.
I ate in the little area by the gym where we just sat on the floor. You know, we didn't actually sit on the tables. Like, go sit here with my friends and talk about how cool Rancid is, and I hate all these people. I love that new Ministry album. We gotta hurry up and eat these pizzas before we get Rand to go told to sit in a table.
Nice.
Awesome. Nice. Okay, well, on that point. Actually, one last point.
All over the map, I tell you.
I would be a showstopper every time.
Yeah.
It's like HBK, but you'd like to have me around, I guess.
I'll leave everybody out there with a positive note and a retro note on that, Rob's point of talking about high school, real quickly. Hey, if you're lucky enough to have a local arcade in your area, take some time one of these days and go visit it and pop a few quarters in those cabinets, because actually the arcade scene is having a little bit of a resurgence with Super Street Fighter 4, the arcade edition. Now, that's not obviously in every city, but arcades are starting to have a little bit of a taste of the golden days again. So man, if you're lucky enough to have an arcade in your area, you know, like a golf, even if it's like a mini golf place or anything, take some time, go drop a few quarters in there, and you know, maybe you can get a little taste of the golden days yourself. So that is that is New Soundwave for 2010. Wow. New Soundwave number 60. For
the Jags
team, for Rob, for Brian, for XV, I'm John DeLuna. We will see you next year for New Soundwave 61.
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Gilbert, XV, Lady Rick, Dweebum, with Rob Springer. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. Like the podcast? Tell your friends. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.